Things to do is to be still, isn't it? So that's for sure. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to take a moment to recognize our veterans. I do have something I like to read. And it says, honoring those who fight and serve. I think those who serve their country are worthy of our gratitude and worthy of appreciation. I did not write this, but I thought this was good. It says, no people have ever been free unless a price has been paid for that freedom. This has been true throughout recorded human history. In America, we have enjoyed a level of liberty that is almost unprecedented for people to believe in the worship as they choose without fear. That freedom was made possible by the form of government our founding fathers established and by the sacrifices of those who brought that government to life and keep it from being destroyed. There are a few days that we should summon such a depth of gratitude as the day we remember those who have honorably served with the cause of our nation. And we recognize that for many of them, it was seen and carried out as a Christian duty. George Washington said, while we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. There are times in history of a nation when freedom must be defended. Those moments call for great sacrifice, and it is only right that we remember those who have served. There are several lists of noted soldiers in Scripture, for military service is an honorable calling. If society loses its appreciation for this truth, it is not likely that our freedom will long endure. I am very thankful, like I said, for those who served. I think if you did serve in our military, whether current or retired, will you please stand? If you served at all during our military? Thankful for those. Let's go ahead and give them a round of applause. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. So I never preached a message about soldiers on Veterans Day, at least around Veteran Days that I remembered. After a number of years, you don't always remember what you preached. And you can go back on the website sometimes and you look at different things. I'm not going to be foolish enough to try to pretend that I served in the military and I know what it's like to be a soldier in our U.S. military. But this morning, I like to preach on the qualities of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It is a calling, just as the military is a calling. It is a calling to serve. And I want to encourage you this morning to open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. From these two verses, we're going to look at four different qualities that I believe is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now you say, what happened to Luke? Well, tonight we're going to continue on looking at stewarding life, and we're going to look at the next passages of Scripture in Luke that we've been looking at. So you have to come back tonight if you want to continue on and get all the messages for Luke. And we know you want to get all of them. So, but make sure you come back tonight and we are going to look at Luke. And they're going to talk about how, last week we talked about the farmer that had much. This week we're going to look at people that don't have much and how everybody seems like they're concerned and worried about possessions. And we're going to look at somebody who does not have much and how we're supposed to look at life and how it's supposed to be a life of faith. And I encourage you to come back tonight when we go through that and look at that. But this morning, I like to look at the qualities of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned to you, I've never served in the U.S. military. I did do some research, some reading, and some studying, and try to get the idea of what many people that served in the military would consider a good soldier. I remember as a child, we used to sing this song, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never soar over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Anybody remember that song? I remember that song. How many people want to hear me sing it? Forget it. You know, it has those motions and everything. We even change that around sometimes for Kids Crusade. Paul here, according to what we can understand, was never served in the Roman army or a Jewish army, But Paul would have known a little bit about what the Roman soldiers were like. You say, how would you know that? Well, he spent a lot of time with Roman soldiers. When he was under house arrest, it says for those couple years, he had a Roman soldier that was there, and they would rotate in, and talked about how at one point in time, a couple hundred Roman soldiers escorted him to another spot. And he would have been familiar because there was more than once he was thrown in jail, more than once he was put under house arrest, and he looked at things, and he loved to use the illustration of a soldier for a Christian, for a dedicated Christian. He used the metaphor of a soldier was something that Paul did on a regular basis. He told Timothy, fight the good fight. He called Archippus, who was the host of a church in his own home, a fellow soldier. He also called Epaphroditus, a gentle messenger to the church of Philippi, a fellow soldier. In Ephesians chapter number 6, he tells you to put on the armor of God. Why does he do all those things? It's because we are in a battle. We are in a fight. And these are some verses here that I would encourage you to memorize. I memorized years ago. Even in 2 Corinthians 10:3, he tells us the weapons of our warfare. Paul here is speaking to Timothy. And if we remember where 2 Timothy is written, according to tradition, he is in jail. It looks like he knows he's going to die. He's talking about how he is ready to be offered up. And he is writing his last letter, and he's writing it to one he loves greatly. One that he calls his son in the ministry. Let's go ahead and start in verse number 1. And he says, thou therefore, he's talking to Timothy here. Of course, it obviously is applicable to all of us. Thou therefore, my son. And once again, this is not his physical son, but his spiritual son. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's telling him before this metaphor of being a soldier and being a good soldier, he says, you need to be strong in something. Strong in standards. No, he doesn't say that. Need to be strong in your discipline. He doesn't say that. He says strong in grace. We understand that God's unmerited favor is why we are Christians and saved today. And he says that this idea of being strong in grace and understanding that the grace of God and the grace we're supposed to extend to others. And then he says in verse number 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he's writing his last letter. He's speaking to Timothy. He's writing to Timothy. He's passing the baton. And he says, look, now there's things you've heard of me. There's things you've seen of me. In another passage, he says, do those things, but also teach those to others so that way they can commit them to faithful men. So that way the next generation will have it, and the next generation will have it, and the next generation will have it. Verse number 3, you come to this spot, says, thou therefore. And then he uses this word, endure hardness. And this idea of hardness, I mean, there are times when things are going to be tough, and there are times when things are going to be hard. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's where we get our phrase from our title, a good soldier. And then it says in verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us today. Lord, speak to our hearts about, first of all, realizing that we are soldiers and that we are in a battle and that we are in a war. And Lord, that the spiritual battle that we face is something that we must have the right type of qualities to be able to be victorious in our Christian lives. And Lord, as this day that when we think and we honor and are thankful for our veterans and those who have served and those that are here and those have served in the many, many years in the past to make America such a great nation, Lord, help us to also remember those soldiers of the cross. Help us to remember that we have our place and we have our duty and we have our service to commit. And as we recognize and we look up to those who have served in our military, we remind ourselves we have the same type of opportunity to serve as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Speak to people's hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said earlier, I did a little bit of research. And first of all, you think about the Roman soldiers that Paul would have known. He would know these soldiers to take a solemn oath. He knew that these soldiers were never to desert their standard. He knew that they were to submit to the wills of their commanders. He knew that they were supposed to sacrifice their life for the safety of the emperor and the empire. Now, the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, were inspired by pay, which was excellent. They were inspired by money. Also, I did some research of those that served in our U.S. military. They said some characteristics. What's a good soldier? They said things like this. He does his job without grumbling or complaining. He values honor, courage, and commitment. He is focused and not distracted by other things. He is loyal. He wants to please his commanding officer. Paul is basically saying something similar in the fact that he needs to endure hardship. He also needs not to get entangled. And he wants to please his commander. And the question was also asked, what are some of the hardest things about being a soldier? And they talked about being a moving target. They talked about obviously being separated from their families. Today, I'd like to look at four different things. And once again, I understand not serving in the U.S. military. Some of you could probably give a much better description of what a good soldier is. But being in the Lord's army, I think there's four different things we can see from these verses that can characterize a good soldier. Number one, I think to be a good soldier, you must be dedicated. Say, dedicated, yes. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must be dedicated. Well, look what it says here in verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. We are called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are enlisted as his soldiers. We are dedicated to his cause. The flag we wave is the flag of heaven. Those around us should have no questions about our loyalty as his soldiers. We are in a battle and in a war, and we need to be dedicated to this fight. You say, Pastor, why is this point number one? Because this point is important, is that we see ourselves as soldiers of Jesus Christ. We see ourselves that we are in the midst of a battle, a spiritual warfare, and it's a spiritual warfare for men's souls. We know about the God and the devil, and we know that God is all-powerful, but we know Satan to be the prince of this world in a sense, and that God has allowed him to have rule and reign in some ways over the things of this world and this earth. Now, God is sovereign and God is in control, but there is a battle going on. Some would consider it good versus evil, but God enlists us that after we become Christians. He describes our battle and our fight as a warfare. He tells us to put on the armor of God. As I mentioned already, Paul has called us soldiers more than once. And just as the Roman soldiers were inspired by pay, we should be inspired and dedicated by such a greater reason, and that's for the love of Jesus Christ. It's the love of Christ that constraineth us. And when we think and we understand this, is that when we see what Jesus Christ has done for us and what he did for us on the cross, and that he died and that he was buried and rose again, we should be willing to dedicate our lives and dedicate our service for the cause of Christ. There's a lot of reasons why different people serve. As I mentioned, back in the Roman soldiers' day, it wasn't more about out of a sense of patriotism, as I believe many of our American soldiers do, or American military does. It was done out of pay. It was done out of how to get more pay. But instead, as a believer and as a Christian, we should consider the love of Christ. Think about what it says in Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We should walk worthy as a soldier of Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God, who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. There is a calling on our lives, and it's a calling that we should walk worthy of. To be able to put on a uniform, there is a code of ethics and a code that is a discipline. And there are people that they have to follow a certain set of guidelines and a certain set of rules. They have a certain set of conduct to be able to consider to be a worthy of a soldier. And I tell you, Christian, today, if you're a believer and on your way to heaven, we should walk worthy according to the calling that God has given to us. When I think about dedicated Christians, I think about dedicated soldiers. There's a lot of different soldiers in the Bible that's mentioned. It reminds me of the story about the armor bearer that was with Jonathan. You remember that story? Saul was just become king recently, Jonathan, his son, and they were fighting the Philistines. They were actually losing to the Philistines for the most part. Jonathan talked to his armor bearer and told his armor bearer, let's take a walk. No one even knew he left. He comes upon a garrison of the Philistines, and Jonathan instructs his armor bearer and says, hey, let's go ahead and take these guys. Now, there's two of them, and there's many Philistines. And now, if me or you were the arm bearer, what would we probably say? We'd probably say, you're crazy. Let's go back, get Saul. Let's go back and get the army. Let's see if we can win that way. But that's not what Jonathan's armor bearer says. Listen what it says in 1 Samuel, verse 14, 6 and 7. And Jonathan said to the young man that bears armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So Jonathan says, hey, let's go get this garrison. God can save by many or by few. I can see him pointing at themselves. And then we see in the story here, he says, and his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. The armor bearer looks and said, Jonathan, whatever God's put in your heart, that's what I want you to do. I will follow you, whatever. He believed, he was dedicated, he trusted in Jonathan's decision. And he said, Jonathan, if that's what you think God wants you to do, I am dedicated to it. I want you to understand, if we want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we must learn to be dedicated. You see what it says in verse number 4, who have chosen him to be a soldier. Jesus Christ has chosen us to be a soldier, and we consider the war, he's the one that's enlisted us. Are you saved this morning? Are you part of the army of God? The question is, have you been, or if you are a Christian, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you saw yourself in the need that you have as a sinner, and that Jesus died for your sins, and you repented of those sins, and you cried out to God and saved you, that means that you're in the army of the God. Are you dedicated to that service? Say, Pastor, dedication, what's the big deal? There's so many people today that don't even think they're fighting. There's so many Christians today that don't even recognize that there is a spiritual war, and that there is a spiritual battle, and that the souls of mankind hang on the balance, and that God has called us and given us a mission and given us a commission, and it's given us instruction to do. And if we would consider a soldier that would go out and he would serve but was not dedicated, that he would be willing to quit at any point in time, and that he would be willing to throw in the towel, we would not consider him a good soldier. Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? First thing I want you to think about is dedication. Second thing I want you to see is not just dedication. It is also durable. Say durable. Well, you think about what it says in verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness. Enduring hardness means we should not allow ourselves to become easily discouraged. Once again, we look, I read some of the things that people said was the hard part of being an American in the American military. They said some of the things that was the hardest part was being separated from their family. They were always on call, and at a moment's notice, they had to be gone away from their loved ones. That had to be one of the hardest things. Some talked about the conditions, and some referred to the Iraq wars, how their chemical suits were 140 degrees that they had to wear, 100 degrees in shade. About being in battle and being a target. The loss of life is huge. Seeing friends and people you love getting injured. They talked about how that was all a part of their training and enduring the right way. They were conditioned response. I want you to understand, as Paul is speaking to Timothy here, and he's saying, look, I want you to remember something. You're going to have to endure hardness. Say, oh, Pastor, I endure lots of hardness. I go through this trauma and I go through this trauma. Sometimes the hardness that we deal with is on our own selves. Sometimes it's the things that we do. It's not because we're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we go out and we spend frivolously and we have financial issues and financial problems, that's not enduring hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul was speaking from experience. Paul, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, like we learned about in Sunday school for a few minutes, went to Philippi. He preached the gospel because he cast out a demon from a girl. You know what happened? He was beaten and thrown in jail. He experienced shipwreck. He experienced nakedness. He experienced hunger. He experienced hardness. I think sometimes when little bad things happen to us and we get our feathers ruffled, even sometimes without the cause of Christ, we say, man, I'm enduring that hardness. But a good soldier of Jesus Christ is one who will be durable, one who will continue on. It means that we'll be prepared for our fight in a spiritual way. It means that we'll prepare for conflict any time of day, whether it be in the wee hours of the morning or late at night. It means that we'll not back down from the threats of the enemy. We will not give in to the wiles of the devil. It means that we will allow the casualties around us not to make us quit, but instead determine us to keep on going. We know that there are some people in this Christian life that was soldiers of Christ, but have fallen away by the wayside, and they just were not durable. And we would not think very much about someone who was in the U.S. military, who was serving and just quit. They would go AWOL. They just would not last. We wouldn't think that to be something that would be a good character trait. And that's why when we think about it in our Christian lives, God has given us something to do, and God has given us something that we should be a part of, and we should be a soldier. He says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course of joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And I know that we respect our military, and we respect their code of ethics, and we respect their hard work, and we respect how long they stay at and they continue on serving. But when we think about it, in our Christian lives, we've been given the same type of ministry as a soldier of Jesus Christ. How are we doing? Are we durable? Is it something that we take certain times off? Is a good soldier of Jesus Christ will endure hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they'll be durable. The third thing I want you to think about here, not only will they be dedicated and durable, they will be deliberate. They will be deliberate. Paul said, "No man warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life." A good soldier is not distracted by all the things going on in this life. You think about it, being deliberate in his actions, on purpose. The Bible calls it to be redeeming the time. It talks about how we should be circumspect, how we should be sober, we should be vigilant. There are certain things we should not get tangled up with. And I like the imaging here, "No man that warreth entangleth himself." That word entangled here means epleko. That's the Greek word that's translated. It means to be interweave or interwoven. It means that having your sword kind of caught up in your clothes so much you can't even pull it out to fight. It means just kind of being entangled in something. You ever seen something in a net before? You maybe ever been trapped into, got stuck and got, guess the more you fight, the more entangled you get. That's what he's saying here. No man that warreth, no man that realizes, hey, I'm dedicated for this war and I'm durable in this war. No man that's going to really truly war in this faith, they're not going to get, look what it says, entangled himself with the affairs of this life. The good soldier doesn't allow himself to get entangled. The good soldier is not worrying about what happening back in the world that they left behind. Think about it. You know, someone inside of a foxhole really is not going to care about who's winning the World Series. No, someone that's sitting on and is in the heat of the battle is not going to worry about the affairs of this life. You say, "Pastor, you're preaching against sports now," or "you, Pastor, there's nothing wrong with enjoying certain things, but we need to be dedicated to this war. We need to be dedicated to this battle. We need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We need to be durable." And the only way that's going to happen is if when we don't get entangled with him, with the affairs of this life. When we don't get mixed up and we don't get distracted. You think about some of the Bible characters that got mixed up. You think about Lot. Lot was there with Abraham and he got mixed up. He got entangled with the things of Sodom. He went down in Egypt with Abraham, and I think he saw the things of Egypt. And when he went and he looked at the lands, when he was given that choice, he says, "You know what? I'm going to go there," but I don't think he ever planned on being part of Sodom. What happened? He got entangled up with the things of Sodom. And we see throughout the Bible different characters and different people who got entangled up with things that were the affairs of this world and the things of this life. And they got so entangled up, they became worthless as soldiers. If you're going to be a good soldier, you must be dedicated. If you're going to be a good soldier, you must be durable. But if you're going to be a good soldier, you must be deliberate. You must do your job just to make it out alive. I read one of the soldiers said that you must do your job just to make it out alive, just to be able to get home. The one soldier said, "The good soldier is a single-minded and focused soldier. The position of a soldier demands detachment from what would hinder his wholehearted obedience to the call of his commander." I like that. Let me read that again. "The position of the soldier demands detachment from all that would hinder his wholehearted obedience to the call of his master." You know, one preacher put it this way, soldiers are on a rescue mission. They're out to try to save the souls of men. Friends said, "You can't get entangled or distracted. It means life or death to those that are around you." The same is true for our Christian lives. When we get entangled and distracted by the affairs of this world, it is life or death spiritually to those that are around you. When we get distracted, it also is a life or death things. And we are in a rescuing mission. Don't lose sight of why we're here. Don't lose sight of it. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for those that are in the military. I see what they do. I see the discipline that many of them have. I love when they come and be a part of our church. I remember in the past when the Coast Guard families would come and many times come and be a part of church. They're disciplined people. They were faithful and they were wanting to get involved. And there's a lot of positive qualities just from being in the U.S. military. I wonder, are we being truly a good soldier, Jesus Christ? Do you look at your life that way? Do you look at your Christian life like that? Do you say, hey, I am a soldier. There's a certain amount of training that I need. There's a certain amount of dedication I need. There's a certain amount of durability that I need. There's a certain amount of deliberation I need. And the last one is the qualities of a good soldier is one that delights. Say, what does that mean? I remember reading a couple of different times. They said that the good soldier is one who delights in doing what his commander wants him to do. And I thought that was kind of strange because you always think of, and once again, I only know it from TV or hearing from experience. You know, you got that drill sergeant that when they're going through boot camp is always yelling at them and always telling them this, this, and this. And who in the world would want to delight after doing what he wants you to do? But in all reality, when we think about who our commander is and who our captain is, it says that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. We see the dedications that's needed. We see the durability that's needed. We see the deliberation that's needed, but we also see here the delight that we should have. And the Bible talks about how our delight should be in the law of the Lord. We talked about in our Sunday school class about having the right passion, and that passion is, does my actions please God? And we began looking at a couple of things, and I said, hey, does my Bible study reading please God? And he said, of course, if you read your Bible. Now, does it the amount that we do? Does my prayer life please God? Does my effort in winning people for Christ please God? Does my reactions to my family please God? How my attitudes, does it please the Lord? Does my service please God? Does my giving please God? You know, there's a long list of things, and I said that when I'm doing what I want, when I'm doing what is right, when I'm trying to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, when I wake up in the morning, I look to him and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do today? What would please you with my life today? How is it that you want me to react? How are the things you want me to do? What would you want? You're my commander. You're my leader. What is it that you want me to do? And what is it that you want me to say? So many times we think that we're pleasing God with our own opinions or our own thought process, but what does the Bible say? He said that I may please him who have called me. And it's Jesus has enlisted us in his army to be a soldier. If you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it means that we need a delight in what he wants us to do. Our number one priority as soldiers is to please the Lord. God is most pleased to us when we follow orders, when we are diligent at our posts, when we are vigilant and watchmen, when we are loyal to our cause, when we fight to win, when we are steadfast at all times. Is he pleased with us today? And I thought about, especially with our Sunday morning lesson over and over, who am I trying to please with my life? Obviously, I like to please my wife because it makes things better at home, right? Obviously, I like to please people. I enjoy it when people are happy with me, but that cannot come to the spot where I'm making God unhappy. I must please him first and foremost with my life. So he says to us, thou therefore, he's speaking to Timothy. He's a man who loves Timothy. He's sitting in a jail cell or at least under a house arrest, and he's penning these words, and he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. Timothy, now you need to remember you're a soldier in this fight. You remember that hardship will come. It's not always going to be easy. You're going to have people that will come against you. You're going to have people that will mock you. You're going to have people that will laugh at you. You're going to have people that accuse you of being deceitful and accuse you of all things. Now remember, endure hardship as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. Get ready. Be dedicated to this. Be durable, Timothy. There's been people that left. Demas left us have forsaken me for this present world. Other people have left us. Only Luke alone, he says at the end, is with me. He says, now endure it. And then he gives an instruction. No man warreth. That, remember, if you remember you're in a war, you know what? You're not going to get entangled himself with the affairs of this life. And the whole purpose is this. Not so that way you can be a good soldier, per se. that ye may please him who hath called you, that you may please him. Isn't that what our desire is? I mean, that's why we should be here at Faith Baptist Church in the morning, and why we should be at church, and why we sing the songs. You know, when we sing the songs, you're not singing to please me. You're not singing to please Jim. You're not singing to please other people. You should be singing to please God. You should be in your fellowship. It should be to please God. In our ministry, it should be to please God. In our, like I said, all those areas, it should be to please God. But being a good soldier requires effort. Being a good soldier requires training. Being a good soldier requires having the right motivation. We must realize that we're not called to be part-time soldiers. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. We wrestle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But it's a wrestling. Let us go onward and forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Let us lift his banner high. A spiritual Christian does not simply do minimum duty for his Lord Christ. He serves him with everything he has, everything he is. I was looking at different stories about veterans, and I came across one I had never heard before, probably because I'm not very smart when it comes to history. But it's by the man named Audie Murphy. He was a very unlikely hero. He weighed only 112 pounds and had the face of a child when he entered and went overseas during the World War II. Nothing about him suggested a hero in the making. Yet when called upon by his commanding officer due to duty of a soldier, Murphy held nothing back. By war's end, the quiet boy from Texas had fought with extraordinary bravery and saved the lives of countless fellow soldiers. He returned to an adoring public and was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor and received at least 36 other medals, more than anyone else in U.S. history, at least at that point, all because of nothing meant more to him as a soldier than to do the will of his commanding officer. As I was doing some research, not only did he get medals from the U.S., he also got medals from other countries, too, for his service. Remember, the Roman soldier's motivation was a fear of his superior, also for money. I think many serve our military in the U.S. because of a love for our country and a patriotism, as we see with this story of this young man, have seen of many of you. But also, think about our motivation. Am I going to serve him because I love him? Am I going to serve him because I want to please him? This is why we line up. This is why we serve. This is why we sacrifice. It's because we want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This morning, take a little look inside your heart. Are you dedicated? Some don't even realize the seriousness of the Christian fight, seriousness of the Christian battle. They can say, hey, I'm going to be a Christian for a couple hours every week. I'm going to play my role. I'm going to do my thing. That's not being a good soldier. Some's durability is questionable. Some, when hardness comes, when life becomes a little difficult, they stop serving. It's important that we deliberate. We don't get mixed up with the things of this world. Instead, we desire to please him and delight him. This morning, are you a good soldier? Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? I don't like being called a soldier. He says it, right? He says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ in verse number 3, at the end of verse number 4, who have chosen him to be a soldier. We're in a battle. This battle is just as serious and just as real as any other war we've ever been in, if not even at a greater extent, because it's for the souls of men. I know a lot of good soldiers, a lot of people who have served our nation very faithfully. I wonder, well, we have those same characteristics when it comes to our spiritual lives. Say, Pastor, you make it too hard. You make it seem unreasonable. He's the one that says, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's the one that says, please him. So when you look at your life, ask yourself this question. Does my life please the Lord? If you're here this morning and do not know Christ as your personal Savior, you're not a soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not a good thing. Christ died for you. Christ gave his life for you because there was a sin problem you had. this morning, give your heart over to him. During our invitation time, I'm going to be down front. And if you do not know Christ, not sure if you died today that you would go to heaven, let us take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. And this morning, if you are Christian on your way to heaven, ask yourself this question. Am I a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Is God pleased with me? I want God to be pleased with every area of my life. Let's make that commitment today. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and I want God to be pleased with me. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a word of prayer and for a time of invitation.